Very, very fun. Very fun. Who's happy? It feels like a happy place here. It is a happy place here. How beautiful to see all your faces. I was trying to remember how long it's been since I was here, and it's been more than a minute. That's all I know. But I do know the first time I was here, some of you will remember, it was when Mindy Odlin was on maternity leave. And how old is that girl now? She's like 17 or 18, right? She's about to graduate from high school, I think. So it's really great to be back. So we're talking about bees today. To be or not to be, that is the question. But did you know that aerodynamically, bees are not supposed to be able to fly? That the width of their wings is far too small to support the hugeness of their bodies. The good news is they don't know it. I think we could learn a few things about bees and from bees. But first, a couple of jokes. Goes with the happy. What do you call a bee that can't that you can't understand? A mumblebee. She's known for this, my husband said. Why did the bee go on strike? Because they wanted more honey and a shorter working flower. Oh. What did the queen bee say to the naughty bee? Behave yourself. That was good, wasn't it? If you have a bee in your hand, what do you have in your eye? Beauty, because beauty is in the hand of the bee holder. And this is why I do ministry. For the grown. No, not really. So the bee doesn't know what they don't know. So regardless of the physics, the bees fly and they get to the nectar and they pollinate the whole world. In the simplest act, that is one of the most profound acts. So what can we learn from bees? The first is the bees don't know what they don't know. We can learn a few things about that. Now the problem, generally speaking, is that most of us as humans don't know what we don't know, but that limits us. Right? So we want to use the way the bee processes what they don't know to lift ourselves into the infinite, because we believe in the physics and what we've been told. We believe in our unconscious that says, you're not good enough, you're too old, you're too young, you're not tall enough, you're too short, you don't have enough money, you're not good enough, you're not loved, all that stuff. The bee doesn't have any of that. The bee just gets up and does what he or she is here to do. We could learn a little bit from the bees in letting go of the limitations that society and subconscious and science has put on us to express our full divinity. Second thing we can learn from bees is the phrase, busy as a bee. Right? So busy as a bee, we use that phrase when people are, you know, flitting around. So she's as busy as a bee. We use it often in a derogatory, maybe, sense, right? If you think about it. Oh, she's as busy as a bee. Even if you say it like a compliment, you know you don't mean it. I mean, we're still in human bodies, so we're going to give ourselves a little grace. But a bee, actually, even though it looks like they flit and flit and flit and flit, they have a path. And they go very purposefully in from one flower to the next. And did you know that they stay focused on their mission? They look like they're flying aimlessly, but they're not. But did you know this? That almost 90% of the wild plants and 70% of our crops, of our global crops, our significant global crops, are dependent upon pollinations. Now, the bees aren't the only pollinators, so let's make that very clear. But also, that one out of every three mouthfuls that you eat are dependent also on pollinators, are dependent on pollination. These bees are very purposeful and very important in our world climate. But they stay focused. We, on the other hand, go do 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 do, and we get nothing done. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. But the third thing is related. The third thing is really what I want to be talking about today, and that is that purposeful intention that a bee has. They know exactly what they're doing. Now, they might not be aware of the grand scheme and how important they are. They might not be, but they are very purposeful. Each bee has a role, and they stick with that role. So that purpose and that intention keeps them focused. When we stay purposeful and intention, we can call that let your eye be single from Matthew. You know that scripture, let your eye be single. When our eye isn't single, we're like all over the place, right? So Matthew 6 says that, but I want to read to you from the book called The Message. The Message is the version of the Bible I go to most often when I want a little bit more curiosity. So here's what it says. Your eyes are windows into your body. Open your eyes wide in wonder and belief. And I have to refer to the daily word and joy. Open your eyes in wonder and belief and joy, and your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a musty cellar. Ooh. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. But metaphysically, what does that mean? Keep your eyes filled with light. Keep your eyes open to light. Keep your attention on that which is good, that which you desire, that which you want, not that which is bad or evil or greedy or mistrusting or that which you don't want. From Luke 11, it says, your eyes are the lamp of your body, of your soul. The lamp of your body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But then, if it's evil, then your whole body is full of darkness. So there's lots of ways to move our intention and our focus into that which is good. And I have one slide I want to share with you, if we could have that now. This is how I'm being filled with light this weekend, and in fact, all week, and next weekend too. These are our twin grandsons. They are 2.5 months old. They were born premature at 34 weeks, and they were 17 days in the NICU, and now they're like 12 pounds each. And as you can see, they're well fed. And as you can see, they're thriving. Here's what I'll tell you about twins. This is what I know so far. Now, we got here Friday night, right? So this is, I have now, 30 hours of twin experience. So here's what I know about twins. It looks like it's really easy to hold two at once, doesn't it? And it's not too bad. It's pretty awesome, actually. But then there comes doing anything, like scratching your nose or feeding them or putting one of them down so you can stand up. There's a whole nother thing. Does anybody have twins? Nobody in the room. It's amazing. And the other thing that's absolutely amazing, and my daughter-in-law says this all the time, she goes, it's like they're one baby in two bodies. And they are identical, so technically they are. They are so identical. They put themselves in the same position. They may go across the room and they're both like this. or they're both like this, or they're both like this. It's crazy. Almost always, they're in the same position. But when you hold them, they feel the same. We can't tell them apart. It's crazy. Energetically, I do a lot with energy and vibration and frequencies, and I always feel the baby, right? Energetically, I can't tell them apart. Now, they're only 2.5 months old, so probably we'll get a little bit more individuation here before we go. But this is how you put light in the soul. Now, if you don't want to go out and have twins yourself, or you don't have a child who's going to have twins for you, because you know this is all about me, right? Then find other ways to put light in your soul. You can take that down, because otherwise they might just be paying attention up there and not to me. So scripturally, again, so what that means, really, that single eye, is put your attention where it matters. Now, sometimes we do that really, really well. And other times, we forget to do that, and we let our eye be distracted. So if the opposite of single is distracted, right, and we go flitting with no intention or purpose, and we're doing the channel surfing, right, between the Weather Channel and CNN and the political channels and the climate channels and, you know, whatever's going on, or we pay attention to the drama in the world, or we pay attention to something that we don't want, right? You know how quickly we do that. We say, yes, I am a picture of total health. Oh, my knee hurts. Oh, my eye hurts. Oh, that shoulder. You know how bad that shoulder is? And, you know, by the way, I had a hand injury that was, like, totally healed until last night. I don't know if that had anything to do with holding babies for 20 hours, maybe. But you get my point, right? We pay attention to the drama, to the trauma, to that which we don't want. We say, I am prosperous. I'm really going to heal my money issues this year, right? And don't raise your hand, right? Or whatever your thing is. And then what comes up? Everything unlike that. But it comes up in order, really, to be transcended, to be healed, to be let go of, to be surrendered. But we forget that part. We think it comes up because it means something. We think it comes up because it means we have a limitation. Same thing. We're not good enough, we're too young, we're too old, we're too tall, we're too short. You know, add your own things in there, right? Because we all have them. And the only reason we have them is because we're in human form. But it's not the truth of who we are here to be. So when we transform our distractions, or transcend, maybe a better word, our distractions, and we let our eye be single, that light that is within us is the Christ light. Now, in unity, we have a huge advantage because we teach that we all have that Christ potential. But we not only have the Christ potential, we have the responsibility to awaken the Christ. We are here to make manifest the glory of God. We are here to embody, to integrate, to allow, to reveal that Christ presence that we all are. And when we do that, it is as if we pollinate the world, and the world changes. It changes if one person does it. It changes for you, because then you begin to see differently. There's lots to see in the world today, and it's easy to find the bad and the wrong. But there's lots to see in the world today that's beauty and joy and light. There are so many things happening in the world that are innovative and collaborative, solutions to some of the problems, but we don't see it on mainstream. You have to go looking for it. But when you watch people rise up into the truth of who they're here to be, magic happens, miracles happen. But that isn't magic and miracles outside of science. It's just the truth of who we are. Because we've allowed our focus and intention to keep our eyes single on not only that which we desire, but also on that which we are becoming. Individually, we're becoming a greater expression of our Christedness. Collectively, we're becoming a new world. We know that every time there's huge chaos, it's the potential for the new. The potential for something new can be born. We're in times of great chaos, so begin to imagine the new, a world of innovation, collaboration, beauty, creativity, love, light. We start right here and right now with that single intention, with that purposeful focus. There's a saying that says, where your focus goes, energy flows, right? Saying the same thing, stay focused. So I have a parable I'd like to share. It's about a wise old owl named Oliver. Oliver lived in a serene forest, and he had a simple yet profound philosophy. He said, if your attention is split, you're being pulled in multiple directions, different directions. We all know that. It's what we've been talking about. Oliver's wisdom was evident in his remarkable ability to hunt for prey. When he focused on a single target with unwavering attention, his success rate was unparalleled. But on days when he allowed distractions to divide his attention, his hunts often ended in frustration. Now, a parable means it can relate to you, so take it in, not just as a story I'm telling, but as a parable that can impact you. So one sunny morning, Oliver watched a young rabbit dart through the underbrush. Determined to catch his meal, he locked his gaze on the rabbit and blocked out all other distractions. The rustling leaves, the chirping birds, the swaying branches, and with laser-like focus, whew, he pounced and captured his prey. But it was in that moment that he realized, as he enjoyed his well-deserved meal, the antidote to distraction is single focus. You see, you get both and there. We always like to go paradoxical, both and. It was a simple truth he carried with him throughout his wise and contemplative life in the forest, a lesson that helped him thrive amidst the beauty and chaos of the natural world. Another way to say it, if your attention is split, you're being pulled in two directions. For me, I like to stay pretty focused, usually, like especially if I'm working on a project or something. Recently, I was working on a project. It could have been the writing of this talk a few weeks ago or something, some such like that. I was actually just recorded a workshop for the Interim Ministry Network Annual Conference, which I'm very excited about. It's called Accessing Possibilities, but the first title that they rejected and invited me to use this title instead was Quantum Leadership, A New Way of Being in Transitional Ministry. Don't you like that? I liked it, so I have to say that, but it's not the title. Now the title's Accessing Possibilities, Finding Hope in the New. That's an okay title, I think, but, you know, for a unity church, we're going to go with the other one, right? But this is all denominations. It's our national organization of interim ministers. So anyway, so I'm working on this, and I have a time deadline because we're traveling, and I had to do recording with all the, you know, the fancy-smancy stuff and slides and all those things that are a little bit on the edge of my comfort zone. And I was having so much trouble. I was like, I would sit down and I would think, oh, yeah, I'm going to focus. And then I'd be like, oh, I got to look at Facebook. And oh, I got to check the email. Oh, the laundry needs to be moved. Oh, I should probably check on Rob. Maybe he needs lunch. Maybe. You know, it was just like all day long. And I'm like, I have a deadline here. I mean, I had to have it done like the next day. So but I was noticing that I couldn't get it done. So notice what you notice is our first step. And so I stepped up, I walked away, I walked out of my office, and I'm walking around the house, right? I'm just walking around the house. It was super hot and humid outside, so I was not going out because I had to film, you know. And Rob goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm walking around the house. He goes, what, every single room? I said, yes. Why are you doing that? Because I'm trying to refocus my attention. So I would walk around the bedroom and walk around the bathroom and walk around the living room and walk around. You get the picture, right? But in that time, I was also consciously creating space so that I wasn't trying to get rid of all my distractions, because that never works. But I was instead trying to come back to single focus. I sat, I had a bite to eat, I had my water, refilled my water, and I meditated a little bit, and I'm like, okay, I'm back. Oh, there I am. Anybody ever have that experience? Oh, there I am, right? And I went back in, and I sat down, and boom, there it was. But when I was focused on all the distractions, I couldn't get there. But when I came to myself and I brought my attention single focus, then it flowed. It's like if you have a vision, then you navigate all the obstacles that come your way. If you lose your vision, then you're dealing with all the stuff that's flying. So when I work in transitional ministry, I often set them up with a vision 3 years from now. So begin, I'm not working with you transitionally, I'm just here as a guest speaker, but begin to envision what this ministry looks like and feels like in 3 years. Like, just let it come from spirit. Don't dream it up, let it come. And then you begin to hold that collectively, and then all of the different pieces that come at you, you know, the mirage of issues and challenges and personalities and emails and tasks, just get done. But if you forget that, then you're distracted by getting all the things done. The truth is, you get more done by keeping your focus somewhere else. And you still have to deal with all the stuff that comes. But it's that focus, it's that intention that will hold you, that will both pull you towards it, and it will pull you. I'm trying to say two things. It'll go both directions. It will draw you and it will pull you, right? So from you, you're going here, and from that vision, it's pulling you. It's so brilliantly simple and powerful and really a lesson from the bees. So be as focused as you can be. Capital B, capital E, capital E. We're going full circle here. Be as focused as the bee. Believe that, like Jesus said, for those who believe, all things are possible. Quit believing in the science or the physics or the reasons or the excuses or the obstacles. Quit believing in that and believe in the truth of who you are. Believe as the bee does in your brilliance. You have a brilliance in you that even those of us who are most awake haven't even begun to scratch the surface of. We're called, we're here on the planet to recognize that brilliance, not in an egoic look at me way, but in a, as a gift we're giving to the world, as the truth of who we are. Believe in your brilliance and believe that all things are possible. Keep your intention focused and with purpose, no matter what you're doing. If you're holding twins, hold twins. If you're gardening or cutting down limbs, garden. If you're connecting with a person, connect with the person. If you're driving down the highway, drive down the highway. Now, that's actually a really good time for me to do process work, so you can do a little multitasking, but you know where I'm going. Focus and intention. What do you really want? What do we as a ministry really want? And remember that your purpose matters. Your purpose matters. Does one single bee realize her greater purpose in the whole world? Maybe not. Do you realize that just by being you, you have an equal purpose in the world? You don't have to go do anything. You don't even have to be anything other than you, but you are an individualized expression of that Christ. You are an important and valuable piece of the jewel of the mosaic called humanity. Your purpose matters. And just like the butterfly effect, when you know you be, the flap of your wings, not your mouth, but your wings will impact somebody on the other side of the planet. Just like a pebble in a smooth pond will ripple out. The more that we keep our eyes single and be focused and keep that light that is the lamp of our body shining, we will be changing the world. Let's take these ideas into a time of meditation. So take a deep breath in. And as you close your eyes, bring your awareness down from your listening mind, down through your body, and down to your heart. And just feel your heart opening. Feel your heart expanding. And become aware of the truth of you that is yet waiting to be expressed, no matter what stage you are in life. There's always a call to more. More love, more light, more creativity, more beauty, more brilliance, more rest, more quiet, more connection, more joy. And as our daily words said today, feel that joy that is God bubbling up from within with no reason other than pure joy. We know that pure joy is the infallible evidence of the presence of God. So feel right now in the depths of your being that joy being ignited. And for this moment, make that joy your single focus. And as you focus on that joy, let your heart fill even more, expand even further. And feel the joy like a contagion to your own brilliance. So let a glimmer of your own brilliance be recognized in your heart of hearts. And feel how that brilliance actually brings more joy. We just bask for a few moments. Feel this joy, this brilliance activating through your body, all the way down to the cells of your being. Feel it activating in your mind, the part of your mind that is divine mind, that is the infinite mind, filled with unlimited possibilities. Maybe there's an impulse there, an idea there. And then feel the brilliance and the light and the joy of every person in this room and every person watching, connecting, merging, expanding yet again. Feel that collective brilliance rising up like a beacon over this building, over this beautiful land, and far beyond, over the state, the country, the world, even. And know this, as you be your joy, your essence, your brilliance, your light, it impacts the world. Feel it encircling the globe, pollinating other people's minds and hearts and souls with possibility. And in our collective beingness, the same thing. Feel our collective pollinating the future of this ministry, of our unity movement, and the whole world. Bask for a few more moments in this collective brilliance. Feel this brilliance encircling the globe. Feel the movement and the momentum pollinating, activating, encircling our globe, and coming all the way right back around to above this ministry, this building. And then feel an aspect of it coming right down through your crown, landing in your heart, activating even more deeply. And in this activation, become aware that you have a new or resolved commitment to being who you are here to be. Place your hand on your heart. Make this commitment to yourself. Feel what you feel. Notice what you notice. And together we pray. In the name and through the power of the light that you are, that Christ is, that we are. And so it is. And so we let it be.